we come together this evening thanking God for another opportunity to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The word perfect is defined as having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be. As good as it is possible to be. You know, there are many things in this world that we may consider to be perfect. There's that perfect mom. And you can fill it in however you want to identify the perfect mom that you think that she should be. Then we have the perfect job. We all would love that, would we not? There are some that have a perfect job, don't even realize it. Yeah, that brother right there. A perfect home. We can look at the home in which we have, and we can say we have all that we want. But then we look at what the next man have, and we think, well, maybe my home is not so perfect after all. The perfect father, whatever in the eyes of the child that he may be, is perfect to them. And the perfect family. The perfect family. There are people on the outside looking in and saying, I wish I was a part of that family. Their children get to do this and their children get to do that. And it seems as though they're always in a good mood. Always have food on the table. Always going on vacation somewhere. That's the perfect family to some. We need to think about it and think about all those things there. The perfect mom, the perfect job, the perfect father, the perfect family. All of them seem to be perfect, but in reality there is but one perfect one and one perfect gospel. When we think about the perfect one, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to give his life in order for us to have a right back to the tree of life. For the sins of the world, the Bible states that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Perfect. Committed no sin. Told no lies. And again, no lies of sin. The ultimate sacrifice. A lamb without spot nor blemish. Who better to give his life for the sins of the world than Jesus Christ? The gospel, the good news that tells that Jesus came, that he lived, and he was tempted in sin just as we are, but yet did not give in. He was crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day. The gospel, Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, that I declare unto you, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us think about that, and let us think about if the gospel is perfect. Talk to you today on the subject. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. We've got many people that want to change the gospel. They want to change the gospel because it doesn't fit their way of living. It doesn't add up to their criteria. And that verse is wrong there. And again, I better fix that before I get down. I think it was Brother Gabe that asked for that this morning. I'm not quite sure who it was, whoever it was. I gave you the wrong verse. It's actually 19, 7 through 10. Thank you, Brother Thanopoulos, for reading that. You started reading, I was like, that's not the verse. But this is. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, and even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and dripping of honeycomb. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. God's word is perfect. It needs no help. God's laws are there for us to follow and not try to change. See, we need to get our lives in order with the Word and not the Word in line with our lives. See, man has it all backwards. They have it all wrong. They want to tell you that's not exactly what God was saying. Well, what was He saying? God has said what He wanted to say, and He says what He wants to say. He's God. He needs not explain anything to any of us, but He has given us His word in order for us to be able to live, in order for us to be able to survive, in order for us to be able to look at it and be obedient unto it, in order for Him to be able to abide in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible states that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture there in verse 16. But it tells you there in verse 17 why the Word of God and what the Word of God is able to do for man. That the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's the Word. Well, if the Word is perfect, and it has equipped man to be who God wants him to be for every good work, why is man trying to change it today? Why does man not want to look at it and say, that is truth, and I need to abide in it? I was talking to one of the sisters earlier about a man that has completed the correspondence courses, but yet he continues to say that he does not agree that the Ten Commandments have been done away with. Now, after he done read scripture after scripture, he does not agree. So his problem is not with the correspondence course. His problem is with God. And when he does not make it in because he still holds true to those things, it's his own fault. His own fault. And his reasoning for not listening or obeying or saying that the Word of God is right is because he's listening to men that say that we have to keep the Ten Commandments. Man says that, not God. Even Paul, when the word was given to the church, to Galatia there, to those people there, and they obeyed the gospel. When someone came in, you can read in Galatians chapter 1 where Paul tells them, I'm amazed at you, I'm marveled, I'm astonished that you're so soon removed to another gospel, which is not another gospel at all. He says, some have troubled you, have gotten you to believe that you need to be circumcised, have gotten you to believe that you need to keep the commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai for the children of Israel. Those things are not for Gentiles. Those things are not even for the Jew today. So we need to realize that when we look at the Word of God and we say that the Word of God is given by the inspiration of God, that we need to stick with it and we need to continue to preach it and teach it and abide by it the way it is written and not try to change it. John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible states here as Jesus talks to his disciples and he tells them that he is not going to leave them comfortless. He's going to send a helper to them. And this helper is going to guide them into all truth. Going to bring back to their remembrance the things in which he has taught them. The word. Oh, that's what Jesus said. I remember now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring me to know these things. See, that's the apostles talking to the Holy Spirit. Thanking him for doing what Jesus sent him to do. I believe that we need to hold fast to the Word today and we need to understand that as we study it, that is not saying, I don't agree with that, let me mark it out of my Bible. You know, that's what people tell you, that's not in my Bible. You can show them, you can have your Bible and you say, let's study, and you show them something in Scripture and they say, it's not in my Bible. Well, I'm going to wait right here and you go back and get your Bible. And you know, when they come back, they're absolutely right, it's not in their Bible. Let me tell you why, because they done marked it out. They don't agree with it. It's God's word that they're trying to change. They can mark it out of their Bibles all they want to, but God's word is still going to be the same. So we need to look at it and we need to abide by it. God's word is perfect. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3, it tells that all things that pertain to life and godliness has been given to us. We don't need anything else. We don't need anything. The word of God is enough. If you think that you need another book, you need to think again. If you think you need some man to write a new doctrine, you need to think again. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All we have to do again is look at the word and do what we're supposed to do. Be pleasing unto God. That God may look down and say, that is one of my children right there. He's not trying to change my word. He is abiding in my word. He's teaching my word the way it needs to be taught. People need to be obedient unto it. The word of God. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. The gospel. Paul states here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verses 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verses 10. See, we need to understand that which is perfect. The Bible says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect shall be done away with. Well, what's perfect? His word is perfect. You know what people are trying to do? People are trying to say that this is Jesus Christ. When that which is perfect shall come, Jesus Christ has already came. He's already came. So what's going to be done away with if Jesus has already came? Nothing. Nothing. So we have to understand that when we look at this scripture and we say that when that which is perfect shall come, that which is imperfect shall be done away with. See, the word of God wasn't written down in its perfect form in order for man to be obedient unto it. It wasn't complete through the book of Revelation, but now it is. From Genesis through Revelation, it's perfect. It's not when Jesus comes, because when he comes again, we don't need to say, hey, I need to be obedient unto the word. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. I need to change my life. It is going to be too late. So we need to accept that his word is that which is perfect. Jesus is not a debt. He is our Savior. And we need to understand this. And we need to understand that we need to be obedient unto the things in which the Father has told him, the things in which he told the Holy Spirit, the things that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write down in order for us to have life. We need to believe that, the gospel. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. Look what it said. Will be blessed in what he does. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? Again, it is the word. The word in which we abide by today. Not the old law, but the new law. What's written down in the New Testament for you and I. James was writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, to the ones that had been obedient, to the ones that needed to understand that they need to continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. And not only look, but he says continue. See, there's so many of us say, oh, I'm saved. I've been obedient to the gospel. I've had my sins washed away. Everything is all right. No, he says to the one who continues in it, continues in it, that we may continue not only to say that I'm a child of God, but I'm one that's going to go out and teach someone else the truth. I was sitting back there this morning as Brother Glenn was teaching, and in the comments that was being made about what the word of God is all about, what the seed is all about, and the seed being perfect and all these other things. And I was saying, you know, that's my, you know, some of the things I want to say in my lesson tonight. But I want us to understand that as we think about God's word, God does not need our help. Let's understand that. He does not need our help. God has provided help for us. He is our help. He doesn't need our help. He is our help. He's given us a standard in which we're supposed to live by. And we need to understand that as we look at it and we examine it, that we do the things that we're supposed to do. Continue in it. As you look at it, continue in it. You know, how many of us, again, when we think about our lives, we go into the mirror and we look in the mirror and we say, hey, you know, everything looks okay, but actually, I need to fix this. But then you walk away and don't do anything about it. See, that's what happens when we look in the Word of God. When we look at the Word of God and we say, you know, hey, yeah, I see that. I see that I'm in sin. I see that I'm not doing the things that are right. But I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change at all. I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live. The gospel has not affected you, not one bit. Not one bit. But we need to allow it to affect us. And we need to allow it to change us. It's perfect in endurance. It's perfect in endurance. The law of Moses, it was good for that time. Not this time. It was good for that time. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 19. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 19. I'm trying to make sure that wasn't me. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 19. What then? The law. It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediator. You know, when we think about the law of Moses, and he says that it was put in place because of transgressors. Those that were breaking the things in which God wanted them to do, and they refused to do those things. They were breaking the law, and that is exactly what we're looking at as we think about the law that was told, that was given, you know, the promise that was given. It was good for that time, not for all time. In other words, when we think about the law, we need to understand that if it was not good for all time, there has to be something that will be, something that will never change. And we find here in the book of Jude, in verses 3, it said, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Once for all, nothing is going to change about it. The gospel, there's nothing going to change about the gospel. No matter how hard man try to change it, it is not going to change. It's perfect. Jesus gave his life. Why? Because that's what God wanted him to do, to save you and I. The Bible teaches us that, Matthew 1:21, Luke 19:10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Given his life, the gospel was proclaimed. See, no one could obey the gospel in the Old Testament because the gospel wasn't available in the Old Testament. It's available today. After Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day, ascended into heaven, the gospel was made available. Peter preached that message and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost. And what did the people do? They were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins." So the gospel is for all time. The priesthood of Christ is unchangeable. The Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Unchangeable. You know, there are times where we say that man right there will never change. Long as he's living, he have time to change. People have told me, you know, "I'm going to hell." You don't have to go to hell. It's a choice. And if you desire to go there, by all means, you can get there. But you don't have to go. You can change. As long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, you can change. But the priesthood of Christ is unchangeable. We can't change where Christ is today. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. "But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever." See, we're members of the royal family. We're joint heirs with Christ, but we will never set where Jesus sits. We will never sit there. That is not our right. But the Bible says that he holds his priesthood permanently. Can't change that. Cannot change that because he continues forever. See, we can use that word forever in a whole lot of different things. But when it starts talking about Christ, a lot of times we say, "Oh, he's not the one. He is not the one that came to save people from their sins." The Bible says he is. We can't change that. We cannot change his priesthood because it says he continues forever. He will always be the Son of God. He will always be the one that's sitting on the right hand. He will be the one that waits on that great day when God sends him back in order to receive unto himself a perfect church. And he's the one that we will stand before on that great day. We can't change that. His priesthood, the priesthood of Christ, is unchangeable. Let's believe that, because it's perfect. It's perfect. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44, it talks about the church will come into existence. His kingdom will stand and break those other kingdoms into pieces. But there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22, 12, verse 22. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festive gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enthroned in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. In verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better words than the blood of Abel. In verse 28, he says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. See, these things we need to look at and understand. That time, the kingdom would come. In time, the kingdom would stand. And in time, the kingdom would be turned back over to God in time. Do we believe this? Do we believe that these things are perfect, that the Word of God is perfect, and that it is perfect in endurance, the gospel is, and that we need to continue to teach it to men so that they may be able to obey it? You know, there are people that says, you know, I don't want to believe what you're teaching. I don't want to believe that this is the only way that we can worship God. I don't want to believe that there's only one way to get into heaven. Well, what do you want to believe? What do you want to believe? That's not really a question that we want to ask them, because we know that it's a bunch of nonsense. Look at it. It's God's word. Let us believe what God's word says. The law of Moses is done away with. The law that Jesus Christ came is the law that's going to stand until the end of time. We need to believe that. It is perfect in design. Perfect in design. Designed to completely fill man's timeless spiritual needs. Perfect in design. You know, there are times where we say, you know, this is how I want to build my house. And we have these designs and we say, man, that is exactly what I want there. And someone comes and they look at your plans and they say, you know, why don't you change it? You know, that's a good idea. You thought that it was perfect. You thought that it had everything that you wanted, but someone came and said, no, let's change this. You know, how about moving this room over here? How about adding another room over there? Maybe we need one more bathroom and this, that, and the other. I thought it was perfect. But you fall for that type of stuff. And what it's going to cost you is going to cost more money for him to change those things on that design. And then it's going to cost you more money when you build that house. But when we look at the perfect design of the gospel, we need to understand that it is not going to change. It is always going to be the same. In John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6 and the verse is 44. The gospel is always going to be the same. Verse 44 says, no one come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. The drawing power is the gospel. The Holy Spirit is not going to make any of us do anything. It's not going to make those out there in the world do anything. See, we have to look at the power of God. We have to look at the Word, and we have to say, I believe that the gospel is the truth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by this belief, I want to be obedient unto what the Scripture says in order to become a child of God. We keep reading there in verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, there in verse 47, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever believes has eternal life. In verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, how does God teach us today? He teaches us by us looking at the Word and us understanding what the Word says. If we don't understand it, someone will come along and they will explain it to us. Remember Philip and the eunuch. Sitting there in the chariot, reading from the prophet Isaiah, Philip asking him that question, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? See, that's that drawing power. Philip doing what the Spirit wanted him to do, teaching the eunuch the Word of God. And by that, he was able to be added to the church. We find in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the perfect in design. It saves him from sin and condemnation. Saves man from sin and condemnation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, as he states there, going not only to verse 16, but also looking at verse 15, he says, so much is in me, is I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. See, we need to have that same attitude. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, we're ready to preach the gospel to the people. Why? Because of what verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, we need to believe that. And as we believe it, we need to understand that it is perfect and it does not need us to make any changes to it. It's perfect in design. We teach it and give people the opportunity to obey it. You know, there are many times where we want to try to doctor things up. I don't think that that's enough. I think we need to add some to it. What can we add to God's Word that'll make it any better than it already is? And anything, we want to take something out, would we not? Because there are some things that we like to do that God is displeased with. Well, let's take this out. No, God is displeased with that. Let's not take it out. Let's let it stay there and let's not do those things. How about that? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And Jesus gave the great commission here. You know, there were some men that came and they wanted to talk about God's word and they wanted to talk about God's word. They wanted to talk about salvation. And they said, well, let's not use Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Let's not use that. I made a mistake and said I won't use it. And I used the wrong won't. I put W-A-N-T like I wanted to use it instead of W-O-N apostrophe T. You know, we make that mistake sometimes. And we had a little argument about that just for a little while. And I said, okay, we don't have to use that one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. And let's look and see what it says there. But I want you to stay here at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Because it says the same thing, basically. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He said, in 15, I'm sorry. He says these words here. This is Jesus. And he said unto them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole world, to the whole creation. Proclaim the gospel, preach it to them, teach it to them, to everyone, no matter where they're from, teach them the word. Why? In order for them to be able to understand it and be obedient unto it. He says that in verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So we need to understand that it is perfect in design. No matter how hard men try to say that scripture does not work, there's another scripture that will work. See, God designed this perfect design because sometimes we can only find one scripture that talks about something, but there are many scriptures that talk about baptism. So if you want to take one and throw it out, it's on you because there's another one that's going to tell you to do the same thing too. So we need to understand that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go and teach to the whole world. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, commanding them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you unto the end of the age, the end of the world, the end of time. I am with you. See, there's not another dispensation that's going to come after the Christian dispensation. So we need to understand that we need to teach God's word and allow men the opportunity to be obedient unto it. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it guides him through life in Christ. We need a guide, do we not? Yes. That is what the word would do. That is what the gospel would do. It would guide us through this life. Just like a road map, it would guide us. Let's not wait until things fall apart before we go to the word of God and we examine to see what we need to do. It's a plan. Look at it. Absorb it. And then follow it. You know, you ever seen those cartoons? You know, this message was self-destructing X, Y, Z. You know, you need to eat it now before the enemy get a hold to it. See, that's the word of God. We need to absorb it and we need to understand it. We need to follow it because the enemy is out there. See, we don't all leave home with our Bibles ready to pull them out to find out what God's word says. So we need to take that time in the evening when we're set back looking at the news because there's a lot of nonsense that go on there. You know, sometimes I'll be like, oh man, you hear those sirens, you know, right before the 6:30 or the 7 o'clock news. I say, we need to turn the TV on to see what's going on. Sometimes we forget. Just like sometimes we forget to open our Bibles and read them and study them to see what's going on. See, God's word is not going to change. We can read God's word and we can just about know what's going to go on out here in this world. We need to know what God's word says in order for us to be prepared when we go out there into the world. We need to be prepared when that time comes for us to give up the ghost, where the spirit goes back to the one that gave it and the soul awaits judgment and the body goes back to the dust of the ground. We need to be ready. We need to accept the perfect design of God's word. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, that we may know what we're supposed to do. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. Give God a try. Pray His Word right back to Him and see what happens. A lot of times we just don't understand what we're supposed to do. We're going in the wrong direction. We need to quit going sideways. We need to start going forward. We need to quit going backwards. We need to keep going forward. We need to look at the perfect design. Why? Because it keeps us saved. In Jude verse 24, it keeps us saved. It keeps us saved. See, we teach the word in order for men to be saved. And we teach them the word in order for them to maintain their salvation. Jude verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. What would the word do for us? What would this perfect design of the gospel do for us? It says, is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory and great joy. It's going to be a great day. A great day when Jesus comes back and holds us to the standard in which he has set. It's perfect in its effect. It's perfect in its effect. It changes lives. The gospel changes lives. Again, we've heard of people that have lived some lives that people just don't want to talk about what they have done. My brother-in-law said the other day, he said, you know, I remember, you know, when you were out there in the world, and I said, you really didn't know me then. You don't know nothing about me. He thought he knew. He thought he knew. I only let him know what I wanted him to know. There are some things that I did out there in the world that I'm not pleased with. What changed me? The gospel changed me. The gospel changed me. It changes lives. It changes attitudes. In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 21, it changes attitudes. You know, you think that you're going to do one thing, but because of God, you do something totally different. I'll never obey the gospel. What do you mean you'll never obey the gospel? Are you sure? You know, there are some things that happen in our lives to make us say, I need Jesus. And when we make that statement and someone come at the right time to teach us about Jesus, we accept Jesus. We accept his word, the gospel, because it's perfect in its effect. We find there in Acts chapter 9, verse 21, Saul. Saul, you know, in many cases, he thought that he would do one thing, but yet when he heard the gospel, he did something totally different. He did something totally different. Acts chapter 9, verse 21. The Bible says this. And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest?" For the chief priest. You know, Saul was changed. He was changed because of that bright light that he'd seen on his way to Damascus in order to persecute the church. But because of the gospel, he changed. He changed. His life was changed. No longer a persecutor. No longer a persecutor. It changed his character. Acts chapter 2, those that murdered Jesus. Yes, it was murder. They murdered Jesus. They crucified him on the cruel cross of Calvary for sins that he did not commit, but yet they crucified him. What was it? Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Murderers. Murderers. But it changed their character. As Peter and the rest preached that message on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their hearts. I already said that. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. 37, they were pricked. 38, Peter told them to repent and be baptized. 41, they were baptized. Baptized, added to the church. Persecuted into a preacher. Acts chapter 9, again, that's Saul. I no longer am a persecutor of the church. I'm a preacher for the church. Doing the things that God wants me to do. Reaccounting his conversion in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Ananias says, "Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The gospel did that. See, the teachings of man will not allow a person to change the way that they need to change. But the gospel, it changes the lives of people. Unrighteous into righteous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Talk about all those different sins that people committed. All those different sins that people have committed. The gospel, as they heard it being proclaimed to them, "I don't want to live that life any longer. That's not the life for me." So what happened? There we find in verse 11, "And such were some of you." What made you change? What changed your life? What brought you from an unrighteous person to a righteous person? It was the gospel. The Bible says you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Should we not be thankful for the gospel? The words in a book that are perfect. The gospel. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. You know, there's many of us that want to be perfect. We want to say that the life I'm living, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But yet, let's look at this just for a moment here. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said to him, as the rich young man came to him and he wanted eternal life. "Lord, what teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" You know, people ask that question all the time. They want to get ahead in life. You know, they want the best in life. What can I do in order to get that? You know, I like that truck you have. What can I do to get me one? Get a job. Go out there and work. Get a paycheck. Save your money. You can get a truck. But look what he says. If this man want eternal life. And the question is asked, you know, "Lord, what must I do?" Verse 21, it says, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect." That's really what he wants now. He wants eternal life. So in order to have eternal life, one must be perfect. He said, "Go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." That's a lot, isn't it? You go, you sell, you come, and you follow me. Not just sell, he says, sell all you have. You mean to tell me he had to sell everything? That's what Jesus told him. If Jesus told him that and for him to be perfect, that's what he needed to do. But look what the Bible says in verse 22. "When the young man heard this, he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He just didn't say sell part of it then. Because if he had great possessions, he sold part, he really wouldn't have missed anything. But he said, "Go and sell all you have and give to the poor." You want to be perfect this evening? Want to be perfect? Give up all that's out there in the world. Because it means you no good. It is no good for you. Give up all that is in the world and come to Jesus. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. You know, many times when we talk about coming to Jesus, individuals really don't understand sometimes. They think that they can say a prayer and Jesus is coming into their lives. No, it's not what the Bible says. Many think that they can go home and they can call their grandmothers or their mothers, and their mothers and grandmothers can pray for them and they can have salvation. No, that's not what the Scriptures teach. When we tell you and we ask you to come, we want you to get out of your seat. We want you to come forth and we want you to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, that's the time where we stand and where we ask individuals to come if they need to obey the gospel, if they need to make a confession because they're already Christians and they need to repent of those things. We ask you to come and you make that confession before the ones that are here, and you're immersed in a watery grave of baptism. You put Jesus Christ on by being baptized, not by prayer, not by the laying on of hands. You put him on by being baptized. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And for those that are in Christ and have fallen away, you confess your faults one to another. You confess your faults to God, and he is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So if you want to be perfect this evening, you want to be perfect according to God's word, you do the things that are right because his word is perfect. You look into the perfect law of liberty and you be obedient unto it. Not a hearer, but a doer of his word. If you're here this evening, you're subject to the invitation. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing.